puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Welcome to Abandoned Manitoba, the Hollywood movie edition featuring Gordon Goldsborough and Robert Redford.
Yeah, well, no.
Oh, no. Tell us about the clue so it'll make sense.
Okay, so I said we were going to talk about an abandoned site in northern Manitoba. And it, yes, it did have something in common with the 1969 movie Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, but not the character played by Robert Redford. In fact, I was referring to kids who attended something called Sundance School. And in fact, other people who lived in a now abandoned town called Sundance.
Okay, so that makes sense. Where does our story start?
Well, it starts with the history of hydroelectric power development in northern Manitoba. Most Manitobans know that our first hydroelectric power came from the Winnipeg River here in southern Manitoba, but the amount of power that can be generated there was basically fully exploited by the early 20th century. So the massive rivers of the north were logical for the next phase of development. So between 1960 and 1965, the Grand Rapids Generating Station was built on the Saskatchewan River. Then on the Nelson River, we have over a period of years from 1958 to 1990, we have the Kelsey, the Kettle, Genpeg, Long Spruce, and Limestone Generating Stations. Now, the fact that these were all built in remote areas, far from established communities, meant, of course, that there was a need to accommodate the construction workers.
So what type of accommodations were provided?
Well, the first generating stations in the early 1960s, they didn't provide many provisions for the workers. You know, the hours of work were long, the pay was low, the living conditions were, well, frankly, kind of primitive. You know, the workers who were employed by the construction companies, at least, often lived in tents or in poorly heated buildings with minimal privacy. You know, when a time came to build the Kettle and the Long Spruce generating stations, the technology of, you know, residential trailers and prefabricated homes were much better established.
And is this where the town of Sundance comes in?
Exactly. When Manitoba Hydro began building its Henday converter station and Limestone generating station, it developed two sites to accommodate the construction workers for those projects. So for single people, there was what was called a construction camp. And basically, it was a bunch of trailers that were brought to the camp, and they would put two trailers side by side, fastened together, and they had a central corridor running down the middle, and they had bedrooms on each side. The other site they developed was Sundance. And it was intended basically for married couples, including families with children. So in 1975, Hydro placed a $1.4 million order with a Winnipeg firm. And the idea was to build 50 prefabricated houses to be put at Sundance.
Did Sundance provide other facilities to its residents?
Oh, yeah. It was a fully equipped town. And, you know, between 1975 and 76, it acquired, well, let me just list them. A grocery store, a liquor store, a bank, a post office, a gas station, a theater, a chapel, a bowling alley, a curling rink, a rec center, a hockey rink. You know, the only thing they didn't seem to have was a hospital or a high school. And so if you wanted either of those things, you had to drive about 30 miles to Gillam for those services. So by the spring of 1976, the Frontier School Division was advertising to hire teachers to work at the six-classroom Sundance School. And the enrollment was anticipated to be about 125 kids from kindergarten to grade eight. So these were truly the Sundance kids of this story. You know, it was anticipated that the resident population of the construction camp and Sundance together would eventually be at least 2,000 people. And Sundance alone was going to have a population of more than 500 people.
So this sounds like a permanent town.
Oh, it does. Absolutely. You know, unfortunately, Sundance had a fairly short lifespan. So in 1978, just barely 2 years after Sundance had gotten started, Manitoba Hydro decided that they were going to postpone the construction of the Limestone Generating Station. And as a result, Sundance was closed. So by 1984, the population of Sundance had dwindled to fewer than 50 people. Then in 1985, well, Limestone got the green light again and Sundance flourished. So by the fall of 1986, there were already 572 people And that included, by the way, 200 children living at Sundance. You know, and they rented three-bedroom homes from Manitoba Hydro. They were heated by electricity. They were served by running water. They had sewer. You know, now the residents, of course, themselves would add little additional touches like decks and gazebos and tool sheds. You know, the site was basically carved into the forest, and most of the houses there had mature spruce and birch trees around them, and the streets they were on were given very picturesque-sounding names like Beaver Avenue and Caribou Drive and Tamarack Bay.
So what happened to Sundance?
Well, you know, I think it was built in anticipation of further development downstream of limestone on the lower Nelson River. They were going to build things like the Kahnawake and Gillam Island generating stations, and perhaps if these facilities had gone ahead, the Sundance might still exist today. Unfortunately, plans for these generating stations were shelved, pending basically the need for electricity. And so the trailers at the construction camp were removed, and some of those trailers ended up in southern Manitoba. So, for example, I have lived in some of those original camp trailers while teaching a class at a wildlife field station near Minnedosa, Manitoba. And the only thing left at the camp, in fact, is the floor from its gymnasium. You know, as recently as a few years ago, the floor markings were still visible, even though it was surrounded by forest. Now, Sundance, it was removed gradually over a period of years in the mid to late 1990s. And what residents did not move elsewhere basically relocated to Gillam. You know, so the shopping center at Sundance was moved to Gillam, and I'm told that it became a church there. The water treatment plant from Sundance was sold to the town of Carmen. The rec center was one of the last buildings to remove in the fall of 1999. And so finally, when Sundance kind of wrapped up, roughly after a life of about 20 years, apparently I'm told the total cost to build and operate that town for those roughly 20 years was $20 million, about $1 million a year.
Is there anything left at Sundance?
Well, you know, I had a chance to visit the site of Sundance in 2017 and found that most of the buildings were gone. But I'm told that the water and sewer lines were not removed at the request of a local indigenous band that thought they might be able to use the site for their future expansion. The roads, the building sites are slowly growing in with natural vegetation. And Sundance's sewage lagoon is, well, it's still pretty visible, but I can see that it was gradually turning into a nice little natural wetland.
Which the biologist in you might appreciate.
Of course.
I'm just thinking of perhaps a modern day comparison. Manitoba Hydro is building in northern Manitoba, most recently the Kiask Generating Station. Does it have a town like Sundance associated with it?
Well, you know, Manitoba Hydro seems to have decided after its Sundance experience not to provide residences for families. So Kiask has only a construction camp, and married workers have to leave their families at home, wherever they happen to be from, or those families live in Gillam, which is quite a distance away. You know, the construction camp at Kiask is massive. And unlike the situation in the early days when, you know, frankly, some workers had to live in tents, the accommodations are luxurious. So, for example, when I had a opportunity to visit there, we actually got a tour of the construction camp, and it was wonderful. I would quite happily live there. But, you know, and in fact, although it's scaling back now, at one time, that construction camp at Kiask was said to be the largest hotel in all of North America. Just gives you an idea of just how massive a facility it was.
Gordon, thank you for this.
You're welcome, Nadja.
What's your clue for next week?
Well, you know, over the last few weeks, I've been getting exercise by walking along my street. And I was reminded of good advice that I learned in my childhood from an elephant.
Nice one, Gordon. You've got us on the edge of our seats. Thank you for this, and we'll see you next week.
We'll talk again then. Bye-bye.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.